Well, that was fun. Thank you so much. All right, y'all, we're going to go to Isaiah, and it's going to be the time of your life. Maybe I'm setting expectations a little too high, but you're going to learn something, and you're going to go away with something, hopefully, that you can connect to your day-to-day life this week. But before that, let's pray. Dear gracious and loving God, in the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hill, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our hearts and the calming of our minds, we feel you, Lord. I ask that you allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. Okay, so let's start at the basic. Who is Isaiah? I came up with a top five list after I've kind of read and reviewed about who this prophet was. Isaiah was a bold messenger in the time of crisis. He lived during political upheaval and a real tension in Judea. His message always called people back to God, no matter what type of danger they were facing. He would always guide people back to God. His words, this is what got me this week. They are ancient. They are written over 2,700 years ago. So this was written 700 years before Jesus. Yet they're still very relevant today. He speaks towards a world of injustice, fear, and misplaced trust. And constantly, Isaiah reveals a God who is holy, just, and merciful. He will confront sin, but he always points to hope and healing and restoration, which is truly unique for 2,700 years ago. He gives us a vision of what God is doing in the world. From judgment to a new creation, Isaiah shows this full arc of redemptive plan. And we know this, that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Isaiah's greatest promises, the servant, the Prince of Peace. I want to start where we started Good Friday, in Isaiah 53. Before I read this, I would love to encourage you to take some time. And this isn't like reading Philippians. This is over 60 verses, chapters. But it is worth the read. It's got depth. It's got relevance. It's got practicality that I was blown away with this week, especially after we walk off the Easter high. After we proclaim and know that Jesus conquered death. So this is how we started our Good Friday service, with Isaiah 53. And who has believed what we have heard, and who is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form, no majesty that we should look at, nothing in his appearance that we should desire. He was despised and rejected by others, a man suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And surely he has borne our own illness and carried our disease. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. and by bruises we are healed. Like all sheep, we have gone astray, and we have turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. 700 years before Jesus, this prophet is speaking truth and hope and pointing people to where we should go. We're going to focus tonight on Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. This section of Isaiah, I found it to do three things. It's transformation. It talks about what Josh Stuckey talked about, the new heaven and the new earth. Not that things changed, but things were transformed. It talks about restored dignity, seeing each other as whole. We're going to visit that Hebrew word of shalom again. And it talks about peace for all creation. And as we're going to go through this bit by bit, scripture or line by line, I want you to think about, what is your peace? Wills is not this week preparing for finals in seminary. I've been there. I'm kind of there in my other studies program, but I'm just laying that aside for now. This week I got to meet we have a new moms group. Like, I'm talking, there was a 2-week-old baby in the room and I was like in heaven, right? So there were 7 moms. We were all sitting around. I went and taught them a baptism class so they didn't have to come to baptism class on Sunday, because we all remember getting out of the house with an infant, right? And we moved into, after class, just, how are you doing? How are you taking care of yourself? And I said, listen, you've got to pay attention to who you are and where you're at. Because when I was at your phase in parenting, a shower and clean clothes was a win, right? If I had bathed and I didn't have any stains on my clothes with young children, I thought I had conquered the day. If I was still living life with those same expectations, I might need to reevaluate my priorities and my peace. I also talked about peace in that time sometimes was just closing the door for like 10 minutes, right? Sometimes it was a bubble bath. Right now my peace is a long walk, and there just wasn't, you'd take the kids for a long walk and halfway through, like, somebody would scream. We'll just say that. Somebody would scream and you'd have to turn around and go, and there just wasn't peace. So as I'm talking, I want you to think about where you're at now. Not where you've been, not where you hope to be, but where you're at tonight in your faith journey, in your relationships, in your friendships, in your family, maybe just within you. Just focus on the now. Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. This is what God is doing next. For I am about to create new heavens and new earth. Former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating. For I'm about to create Jerusalem as a joy, its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered youth, And one who falls short of 100 will be considered cursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit, and they shall not build another inhabit. They shall not plant another eat. For the like days of the tree shall be my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work in their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. They shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food would be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This was written 2,700 years ago, 700 years before Jesus. And it starts simply about naming a new heaven and a new earth, of how all things will be transformed. Not changed, not made better, but completely wiped clean and made anew. Do I do that? Do you do that? No. The Lord does. And in that transformation, we see each other again. We see each other. We work with each other. We labor together so that all things that we have are made anew. The Hebrew word is shalom. We've studied this before, but I'm going to give you a quick 101. Shalom means peace, but truly it means fullness in creation, peace that surpasses all understanding. This is what we're called to do. One of the best emails I got after Easter was from a woman who sat next to somebody that I knew. And so they sent me an email, and she said, I come in by myself, and I leave by myself, and the heaviness of Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday almost made me not come on Easter, but I needed the joy. But I walked into your church at 5 minutes till the 9:30 service, and I knew I wasn't getting a seat. But the joy in being one is I found a seat. And the most transformational thing happened to me. The young man sitting next to me said, hi, my name is blank. What's yours? Happy Easter. And he talked. And he saw me. And it changed my day. Do you hear this story? He didn't do anything grand. In fact, he did what we're all expected. Do you know the most annoying school award there is to me? Perfect attendance. You're supposed to go to school. Not an award. That's just my soapbox. You're supposed to say hi, especially in a place of worship. You're supposed to look at the person next to you and make sure they're seen. This is what he's talking about in this center section, verses 20 through 23. It is about restored dignity. Will you bring me my water? This email both made me super proud that this was my church. That this woman came to church on our busiest day of the year and was seen. It also just made me sad that a hello was worth an email. That's what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to see people not for their weaknesses or their worst or even for their best. Just look at them and say, hi. They shall build houses and inhabit them, plant vineyards, and they shall not build another inhabit, not plant and another eat, for the days of the tree. You see, this is all working together. This is who God has called us to be a shalom, to be a community, to see each other where we're at. And just make it simple. Say hi to the stranger, especially if they're sitting next to you in the pew at church. I'm going to use this opportunity right now to challenge you. I would love to go have dinner with every single person in this room. Is that really possible in my life? Probably not. Do you know what you can do? You can look at somebody on the pew with you and say, hey, it's Saturday night. Church is over at 6:30. Let's go grab a bite to eat. Oh, hey, you want to come with us too? Sure. See how simple and easy that is? I almost guarantee that, and here's the thing that's fun right now about Saturday night. I used to look out on Saturday night and I could say almost every single person's by name. I can no longer do that. Make a friend. Shake a hand. Go to dinner. Build community. Build connection. That is who we're called to be. And it goes on to 25. A peace for all creation. To me, this is reminding us that we are to be working, right? Our work won't go in vain. There's a difference in waiting in a doctor's office in a waiting room, right? What do? You sit there. Sometimes you're nervous, sometimes you're annoyed. Not lots of times are you filled with joy, right? You sit and you wait. We are waiting in anticipation for Christ to come. Are we supposed to sit in vain and wait? No. We are supposed to be active participants in this faith life that we have been blessed with. Simply, I boiled it down to this. Verse 18, practice joy. Simple acts of joy. Do it tonight before you leave. Got it? Yes, Kim. All right. Pursue justice. Verse 22. See people, and if you need to help, walk in, embrace, engage. Plant peace. What is your peace? What does it look like? How can you be a part of God's peace for others? For that is what we're called to do. Practice joy, pursue justice, and plant peace. Shalom. The fullness of the word of God's peace. This is what Isaiah can teach us 2,700 years later. And if you want to see how connected Isaiah is in Scripture, I'm just going to close in something you might have heard of before in Revelations. Revelations 21, 1 through 4. The angel showed me the river. Nope, wrong one. 21. That was 22. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, preparing as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." We're not quite there yet, are we? But we can be the joy. We can pursue the justice. And we can be a part of the peace. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we go out this week, soften our hearts. Let us see what you see. Let us be reminded that simple acts can transform a day. Let us find the joy when we need it most. Maybe it's that we need it. Maybe we need to give it. But ultimately, we know that it's not ours to do alone. We do this following your lead, your word, your shalom. Amen.